Ladies and gentlemen, this is the World Series of Politics, where Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden race through the turn on key legislative and regulatory developments around the gaming world. As these two come up to the green flag, let's get into this race for expansion and opportunity for the industry to grow until we hit the checkered flag on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, along with my wide receiver, Brendan Bussman. How are you,
sir?
I'm
the wide receiver.
Why am I the wide receiver? You got the ball. You're running down the field. You're my guy.
I'm the football guy. I've always been the quarterback. What are you giving me the, receiver?
Okay, then we got it. Well, we're playing on the same team, though, for purposes of this episode.
Absolutely. We always are playing on the same side most of the time. So,
that's right. You know. And so here we are. We are back with the World Series of Politics podcast. We've got a great guest, which we're going to jump into, but we are right back in NFL season. And man, is it exciting. And I will tell you where it's exciting. It's exciting in Illinois. And the Illinois sports bettors got a hell of a surprise over the weekend. Now here's this. I'm going to read a couple of these tweets. At Governor Pritzker, I thought the 25-cent per wager tax wasn't coming through until 2026. Not only can we not bet on Illinois colleges through our online sportsbooks, now I'm just giving Illinois money to place a wager. Illinois needs to stop hurting this beautiful hobby so many enjoy. How about this one? Thanks, Illinois, for making online sports betting stupid. Starting at 25 cents, but goes quickly to 50. For a small-time bettors, this is essentially a 10% tax at Governor Pritzker. And the list goes on and on and on. The Twitter handle blew up this weekend because Illinois legislature can't stop raising taxes, Brendan.
I think I said it best on this program, and I will say it again. Can you please tell me one thing that Illinois has done right when it comes to gaming? They haven't. They never have. They never will. They can't get out of their own way. They are as anti-business as you get. And literally, they just continue to make headlines across the board for all the wrong reasons.
It was disappointing to see. And these bettors got a shock. And I'll tell you, though, legislators are taking note. Obviously, yesterday in Wyoming, a tax proposal was defeated. Handily, it was also defeated. But look, it was defeated in committee handily when they tried to raise the tax from 10% to 20%. These legislators, I think, are finally starting to listen. Consumers are speaking out. People are upset about this. And I think it's starting to resonate with legislators. So let's pivot, though. Let's talk about a state that's gotten it right. And let's go to my good friend, former director David Rebuck. Look, I could sit here for a 15-minute show and talk about Dave's storied history in the gaming sphere, by the way. But I will say this. Most importantly, David is a great friend and a mentor and has been for a very long time. So, Director Rebuck, thank you for joining us on the show.
Well, again, it's a real pleasure to be here with two of my best friends over the years, and learned a lot from both of you when I was director, and most of it was solid advice, and where we disagreed, it really didn't matter because we walked away as friends still. So happy to be here on the 53rd episode of the World Series of Politics. Thank you for not asking me to be on it sooner, because I would not be able to speak candidly in my past role. So I appreciate now that I'm able to join you in this, in, you know, many ways to refresh people's memories as well as look to some of the solutions maybe we have at our ability to do things better in the future.
Well, Dave, as you talk about that, and I think back to some of the conversations we had over the years when you were on the regulator side, and one specifically came to mind that I know you couldn't say anything, but it dealt with one of your licensees that was going through a transition. And I think you and Lou had a good laugh after the meeting was over with, but held a straight face during the meeting. And I appreciate that. And I think you probably know which one I'm talking about along the way. But, you know, I think what we want to highlight today, you know, obviously you've got a wealth of knowledge. And as I said in the right before we jumped on this, let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I want to end with the good. Which is iGaming. Let's talk about the bad and the ugly that's out there right now and what's happening with sweeps, which obviously your state of New Jersey has now subsequently banned. You've got the predictive markets that your state has gone after and is currently in litigation with. sort of let's start there going, how did we get to this along the way, and how are we dealing with it, and what's, what do we need to worry about as an industry along the way?
The sweeps and prediction market really have come about because of the power of technology, the power of the internet to deliver different products that are very similar to gambling. They are gambling, in my personal opinion. However, without the internet, they don't exist. And so you have states like mine in New Jersey, and every state our anti-gambling laws or our pro-gambling laws, when we passed them, were very much historical. Anti-gambling laws originate from the 50s and 60s. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have technology to deliver this type of product to you today. I mean, the first iPhone wasn't even invented until, what, 20 years ago. So the opportunities, because of the confluence of technology to historical gambling activities, is just exploded. And my point to most public policymakers in every state and every tribe is that in every jurisdiction, at least in the United States, is that whether you like it or not, either real gambling or gray market gambling exists in every state in our nation, every state today. And I'll go through the, I have in my mind, there's really like seven online gambling activities today. And most of them touch upon many states. But if you take all seven, every state has some, maybe not all. And then the first one everybody talks about is horse racing. I've talked about this before. Account-based wagering, obviously federally supported. The horse racing industry, struggling as it is without having internet gambling through account-based wagering, either at the OTB tracks or the tracks, they're even in worse shape than they are right now. Okay, that's number one. How many states have horse racing? Probably around 40. DFS. Okay, we all went through DFS back in 15, 16. Was it skill-based? Was it gambling? Was it sports wagering? All of a sudden, Attorney General started to wake up in around 15 and 16 and said, "This is gambling. It's not skill based." And we all know what happened, and they were struggling. So in the United States, you really had just two operators, DraftKings and FanDuel, before Flutter took FanDuel over, and they were on a scorched earth policy between each other. And there's no, if you look at history, there's no doubt one of those two was not going to make it if we didn't legalize sports wagering. Lo and behold, in 18, sports wagering comes about. It's a lease on life for both of them. And but DFS today, whether states like it or not, it's in 40 plus states. Some states regulate sports wagering, some which is online. Some people regulate it not at all. Some people give it to a different agency to regulate, like in New Jersey. We gave it to Consumer Affairs to regulate back in 17. There's a reason for that. My opinion is it was a mistake then. It should be changed for obvious reasons. It's sports wagering. Okay, iLotteries, state-run gambling. We now have 15 states that offer not just selling draw tickets, but have 24/7 games of chance gambling through the lottery, through their iLottery, 24/7. Looks like a slot machine, plays like a slot machine. Anybody who's a sharp gambler knows it doesn't pay as well. Okay, it doesn't pay as well, but it exists in those 15 states. And you get to sports wagering, 30 states, maybe one now, Missouri coming on, 31, District of Columbia online, 40 states have it retail. And iCasino, we only have seven states because everybody thinks internet gambling, when casino gambling is wrong. We shouldn't have it because we don't want internet gambling. But we already have it. And then you get to the two you mentioned, sweeps and prediction markets. All right, let's talk what happened in New Jersey. Sweeps. Okay. When I was director, we talked to sweeps. We're like, we already have online gambling. You're in. Your guys are in. This is an interesting product. Why don't you, good. You can come, we'll regulate you, license you. Maybe you have some questions about how you're taxed because of the model you have. We can work on that. And answer to us in as the gaming regulators in New Jersey, no, we're not gambling. And I'm like, well, what do you mean with this? Well, we don't want you to, come after us criminally. You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to give you that advice. You're gambling. But you can, you don't, we don't need a constitutional referendum. We have casino-based gambling. You can come find a partner. It's well regulated. Chose not to. Kind of reminded me of online poker back in the turn of the century, right? Everybody said that was a skill game. Yeah, we know how that ended up at the end. Federal government on Black Friday shut them down and then had probably never recovered. But now it exists at least in seven states. And then, of course, prediction markets, well, Jersey, New Jersey, Nevada, Maryland, the tribes out in California, particularly. Congratulations. You stepped up to the plate. Lesson to be learned. PASPA was here. Took us 6+ years to overturn it. The only way prediction markets going to go away is if we get to the Supreme Court and win. Okay. Everybody can complain. Everybody can moan. Everything that's written, the sides are taken. But I think the smart people understand it's got to get to the Supreme Court. It's got to be decided at that level. And can it get to the Supreme Court and be decided before there's in the future, have a change in administration, and will it then be reviewed politically by the federal government at that point in time? Can always be reviewed by the federal government, but I'm really proud of what New Jersey's done in that area. We have a great team. Wish we had Ted Olson still with us, but we have a good team, and I believe Maryland and Nevada also. And I only wish that other states would join the fray because certainly in 20 states that don't have online sports wagering, prediction markets are going to be moving very heavily and marketing very aggressively in your state because there is no competition to them from the legal market online. And, of course, the only competition is the black market, but, they're going to do just well. So that has to be played out as we here know. And listen, I'm not an expert in this area, but I look at things that are written by Dustin Gochler, Steve Ruddick, Roger Gross, from the media side of the house, and they nail it. And I learn from them and what they write. I have my own opinions, but they, more than anybody in the media, has covered this in a way to educate people who are policymakers, as well as legislators, AGs, that there should be no misunderstanding what this is all about. So join the fray, get a lawsuit out there. You join us in New Jersey, because if not, and there's an old saying that JFK said. I always say this to people. The only thing necessary for triumph of evil is that good men, and I'll say women, do nothing. And if you want to sit on the sidelines and do nothing, I'm calling prediction market maybe strongly. Is it evil? It's wrong, because in sports wagering, it's gambling. Maybe if you want to say that, well, I like to bet on elections, or I want to determine if Taylor Swift's outfit for her wedding is going to be blue or white, or is we're going to have another hurricane striking New Orleans. That's not sports wagering. People want to gamble on that type of nonsense. Okay, federal government, that's your new derivatives. It's not sports wagering. And
Let me ask you a question,
yeah.
Dave. What do you think about specific to prediction markets? I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Do you think that in states that don't have sports betting regulated, like a California, like a Texas, like a Georgia, with the advent of prediction markets, do you think that forces lawmakers to say, well, wait a minute, if we don't wake up, and start regulating this and collecting the tax revenue, the federal government's just going to just walk all over us. I mean, do you think that this it all wakes up and sort of, I know the illegal market's always there, and that's an argument that sort of plays into that. But do you think lawmakers say, well, wait a minute, I can get on my phone right now through the federal government who's authorized this, and I can place a sports wager, but we're not getting any money? I mean, what do you think lawmakers think about that argument?
I think there's a lot of education that still needs to go on. That's what I was saying. A lot of, there's a lot of issues that most states are facing right now. And gambling regulation, quite honestly, I know in our state, New Jersey, doesn't make the top 10 as major issues facing a government and how your needs and your desires to do things to benefit the people. So a lot of the education has to go on, has to have people learn what this is really about. And both sides, I mean, I think our side has the best argument, but do not underestimate the power of the representatives from Kalshi and Robinhood and now crypto.com, who's joining with Underdog. Don't underestimate their ability to try to influence legislators and tell a story that convinces somebody, no, this is not going to be a problem for us. Okay. I'm just saying that we need to do a better job reaching the right people. But the points you mentioned, yeah, I mean, prediction markets, when they come to heavily in sports, when they compete against like a New York or Michigan or even New Jersey, Nevada, I mean, a lot of the consumers are well established after 8, 10 years or more of like in Nevada, of having accounts, knowing what they're doing, and they're already very much engaged. Okay. So when you don't have that experience legally, the legal market, the prediction market can come in fast and furious, have lots of extra dollars for marketing, and do a yeoman's job in recruiting people to gamble. And most people, John Q. Citizen, they are, when you see the advertising, they're going to think they're gambling legally. They really are. And quite honestly, there aren't any consequences to the gambler because it's not a crime. The product that is offered is been written about as not being as robust. I don't know that to be a fact. But I think in the end that what your point is well taken. For a person in Texas who's anti-online gambling or anti-sports wagering, as a leader, the question you ask them is, well, what's your position on prediction markets that's already operating right now? And I'll show you how to get online with Kalshi. Boom, give this to your 18-year-old son or daughter, they can start gambling. Not 21, 18. Okay. And so you hear the NCAA and colleges and universities, students, high risk takers. I got it at that age group. Used to work in a college and university. If you just think they're going to not experiment with this and go to it when they have an opportunity with their technical skills, you have to be so naive to just think that, oh, this, it won't be harmful. Good luck. Good luck. Because there are no protections. And you heard that on the prediction market, the testimony that was given. They weren't worried about it. Oh, they're adults, they can handle it. Okay. No, wow. I wished as a regulator I had the ability at a time to go to all of the gambling sites and said, hey, you're dealing with 21-year-olds and over. You don't have to worry about that anymore. They're adults. They lose all their money or they get addicted. That's their problem.
Well, and Dave, you bring up all those things, and as I sit here in Minneapolis, just leaving the mid-year conference here, the Indian Gaming Association, that was one of the topics we talked about yesterday, which was, on these predictive markets, and if anybody thinks, you talked earlier about the iPhone and not being around 20 years ago. When I used to work at a university, I could tell you who all the bookies were in every frat house. And it wasn't like gaming all of a sudden, just because of the invention of this thing, all of a sudden came to fruition. And I'm like, oh, hey, these, 20-year-old males all of a sudden found gaming. It's been around for decades. It'll continue to be around for decades. over everything. But back on as it relates to predictive and sweeps and those types of things, I think you highlight the education piece as what we need to continue to do. Obviously we've seen what some of these groups will do, and I use California as the example of where, the tribes rose up and fought the sweeps guys head on. They appear, at least the way the vote appears to be going, and the way I think that the governor has been, what I've heard, will sign a sweeps bill, will do that, which will be a huge defeat over that. But like in these other states like Texas and Florida and even my home state of Nebraska, what are the key things we need to tell those guys in just sort of the 30-second sales pitch to say, hey guys, here's your focus. Ignore the noise, but here's the focus.
No, you're absolutely right. And I you got to get to the table, and you got to find at least a core group of people in the legislature. That's the way it worked here in New Jersey when we deal with sweeps. Found a couple core leaders, John Persichelli being one. Certainly the governor's office was involved. And it took us behind the scenes probably anywhere from 8 to 10 months to change our law to ban sweeps. And I blame the sweeps companies because they could have come in and regulated, legally taxed, legally licensed. They could have. They chose not to. And why? Well, that's simple greed. That's the only reason why. I mean, they could have still been making money. The sweeps, I mean, concept, the business model is going to make money for those companies. But they didn't want to be licensed. They didn't want to be regulated. And they made up this convoluted argument that, well, it's not gambling under existing law. Well, guess what happens? You change the law. And not only you change the law, but the legislature got to the point where they said, screw you, you're banned. So now you can't come back. The only way you can come back is have a constitutional referendum to overturn the law. Good luck with that. Okay, so. And I think, again, you look at California, look at other states in the sweeps area, their defense bills have to be just skyrocketing. As an attorney, you probably have more business in that area right now trying to defend those companies than you ever had trying to get them established and operating. And but it's their own fault. And again, it was I, you know, I again, as an ex-regulator, I saw this as a good business opportunity in the gambling world to expand a product offering that we already allowed, and they chose not to. So I just looked at them and said, well, sorry, but you got what you deserved, and maybe other states will continue to allow your product to be offered, but it seems like more and more jurisdictions are looking at what states have done to ban it to say, well, what should we be doing or not? So it's like you said, California now is massive after what happened yesterday. Still has ways to go, but 45 million people out of sweeps is a big hit to a company. There's
That's
still a
exactly.
lot
I was
more
just gonna.
opportunity. There's still a lot more opportunity in the rest of the country. I got it.
But
But
still, California
it's
is
a
a
big
massive
one.
market. I was gonna
Massive.
mention that.
Yeah,
Well,
it's totally massive.
I know that Brendan wanted to get to iGaming. We unfortunately have run out of time for this show, but I guarantee you this, listeners, we are going to bring the director back to talk more about iGaming as we get into next session and iGaming starts to ramp up. We're going to see more bills being introduced across the country. We want to talk cannibalization. We want to talk revenues coming into states. We're going to talk taxes. We have got so much more for all the listeners out there. This has been another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with your hosts, Brant Eyton and Brendan Bussman. Thank you, former director Dave Rebucker, for joining us. We had a great
Thanks for
show.
having me, guys.
Thank
See
you
you
very
soon.
much.
Take care.
See you
Thanks again.
soon.
Have a great day. All right, bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Eyton. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.